Florida Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO Peoples Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy. In this download, we welcome Orlando Business Journal Editor-in-Chief Carolyn Gunnis to the series for an update with Brevard Zoo Executive Director Keith Winston.
Good day and welcome, Keith.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Keith Winston is the CEO of East Coast Zoological Foundation, which means he oversees the Brevard Zoo and the Future Aquarium and Conservation Center. He has been influential in his industry and the communities of Brevard County and beyond. Prior to joining the foundation, he worked at nature centers in New York, in Massachusetts, and at zoos in Rhode Island and Chicago. Today, we're going to talk about the progress of the exciting plans of the foundation, including the Future Aquarium, fundraising goals, the zoo's role in the tourism ecosystem of Central Florida, and the timeline of the aspirational projects. So, Keith, tell us, what attracted you to running a zoo?
Well, you know, two things in my childhood, I think, led me to this point. The first was when I was 6 years old, one of my older sister's friends gave me a pair of garter snakes. And that started a lifelong obsession with reptiles. And then I was lucky enough, when I was in middle school, a nature center opened directly adjacent to my middle and high school. And then I ended up working there throughout middle and high school. And it's sort of like the inmates ran the asylum. It was a new place. And as teen volunteers, we got to do extraordinary things. We actually set up a sort of a small zoo there that's there to these days. We put on all sorts of sort of installations and productions. And I really found I loved that environment. And I loved sort of bringing things to life and leading things. So that was my early experience that I think pointed me in this direction.
So now that that's established, what are the priorities of the East Coast Zoological Foundation today?
So a little background. Most people know us as Brevard Zoo. Brevard Zoo is a DBA, a doing business as. You know, we are officially actually the East Coast Zoological Society, but we go now by East Coast Zoological Foundation. And the two were synonymous for many years. The zoo was actually built by 16,000 plus volunteers 30 years ago. The largest community build we know of on record in the United States. And when it was originally founded, it was really, as people saw even 30 years ago, the nature in Florida starting to disappear. They wanted a place where folks would reconnect with nature. And they achieved that. It was really audacious at the time to build a zoo. It was really audacious at the time to imagine a zoo could stand on its own two feet as a nonprofit, independent. Most quality zoos and aquariums are part of a government body of some sorts, and we're completely independent. But along the way, we started defining a lot of the conservation work that we do as work with the Indian River Lagoon. We partnered with the University of Central Florida. We partnered with the Nature Conservancy. We partnered with Brevard County. We found ourselves doing more and more marine restoration work. So we brought back oysters and clams and mangroves, and now we work with seagrasses and working with Florida endangered species. But a lot of our work was in the water. And so about 12 years ago, we heard rumors that one of the commercial aquarium chains was looking to build an aquarium in Port Canaveral. And they ultimately chose not to, but it asked the business question, why? What were they seeing we weren't seeing? And what we're seeing is there's no major aquarium on the I-95 corridor south of Charleston, South Carolina. So there was this whole huge market. So on the west coast of Florida, you have three major aquariums around Tampa. In Orlando, you have SeaWorld, of course, and there's a small little aquarium. A little aquarium is now opened, I shouldn't describe it, I haven't seen it, but in Daytona, but really no major aquarium on the I-95 corridor. And our model at the zoo has always been that the zoo attendance and food and gift and all those things, that drives our income model that allows us to invest in all the programs we do out in the environment. So we did the numbers. I spent a few years just running models and taking a look and realized that if we were to build a second campus in Port Canaveral, about half an hour away, our expertise in doing that in this part of the world, combined with economies of scales, meant that we could run it as an economic driver for even more Indian River Lagoon restoration. And that set us out on our path. And that really was the genesis of what hopefully in the next few years will become our second campus in Port Canaveral.
Great. Are you still on track to be open in 2027?
Yeah, we are. It's interesting world, of course. We went through this little thing called COVID, And that shut us down for a few years. And in December 2021, we actually officially launched our capital campaign. And what makes that different in the past, we really focused on Brevard, thus the name Brevard Zoo. But we realized that the aquarium would really be a regional attraction. And I like to think add to what makes Brevard County special in that we have what I call authentic attractions, right? We have the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. We have Brevard Zoo. We're going to have an aquarium. These are real things. And we launched a capital campaign. It's a $100 million campaign. We're at about $75,000. So we have some ways to go, but we're really happy with our progress. And our goal is to break ground later this year and to open in 2027. So that is our goal. The world's a complicated place, as you know, and it often depends on a whole bunch of variety of things when you're looking at construction costs and financing costs and continued fundraising. But right now, we're on a path to achieve that.
Yeah. So you brought other draws to Brevard County. So how do you see the zoo and the subsequent aquarium fitting into that ecotourism system in Central Florida? How do you see that fitting in with the things that you just mentioned, Cape Canaveral and some other things?
Well, I think that's a great question. And I think I'm looking at this as almost a critical mass. Obviously, when we look at the Orlando region in Kissimmee, we have the best accumulation of theme parks in the world, I suspect. I think we all recognize that. And they take you all over the world and they take you into the world of imagination. But what I think we're going to have is this critical mass of this authentic experiences. So at some point, people might say, okay, I'd like a break from, you know, fantasy land, literally. I want to go to the beach for a few days. And while I'm at the beach, I'd like my kids to learn about our space program. No place better than here in Brevard County. Or to learn about actually the habitats and ecosystems that make this beach amazing and experience real things. And what I'd say about the zoo and aquarium that makes it different from other theme park-like attractions is it's not predictable. You know, every time you go to a zoo, it's a very different experience because the animals are doing their own thing. That lack of predictability makes us very special. You have real special moments. I like to say that when people come to a zoo or aquarium, they actually author their own moments because they're going to remember the remarkable thing that happened that is not repeatable. I love, you know, theme park rides, but they are pretty much the same way every time. Unless, you know, something breaks or somebody throws up on you, and then that's pretty memorable too. But their job is to repeat things. And our job is to give you that sort of intimate moments as, you know, with nature that are personally yours and your family. So I think we're going to give all those millions of tourists who come to our region some other choices and another reason to come and another reason to extend their visit. Let's go spend a few days at the beach. Let's do some pieces that really have heavy educational overtones that our families are going to enjoy just as much.
Okay, well, keeping with the theme of authentic experiences, about a year ago, Brevard Zoo announced that it would house a manatee rehabilitation center. What does this entail? Will people also be able to visit this?
So, as I said, a lot of our growth in terms of marine conservation has been very organic. And so after we had the mass mortality event a few winters ago, we were doing work on our oyster projects, which are based off a lot of people's docks. And literally people were coming to the end of the docks and saying, I'm so horrified at what's happened to seagrass and manatees. How can we help? Who should we give money to? We recognize there are other groups in that arena and we recommend them. In the end, most of those people ended up giving us the money. And so we rather reluctantly at the time got into the manatee and seagrass field. We felt we had enough on our plate, but we started working there. And I would tell you a few years later, we've now actually set up two seagrass nurseries and are part of a consortium of groups looking at how we can accelerate seagrass restoration. We also got a lot more involved in manatees. And at that point, the state said, you know, there really is a need on the Indian River Lagoon for some facilities. And so we have two facilities planned. The first one will open this year on Brevard Zoo ground. It will be an acute care center. It's really the rehab center of the manatee world. So if you imagine somebody goes through some traumatic event in a hospital, after they get out of ICU, they need to rehab for some time before they can go back home. That's that role, the acute care center. The one that we're building here right now, and we're a little behind schedule. It's a new thing for us, I have to say. The one that we're building here right now, and we're about to do, is really going to be that overflow for other partners like SeaWorld that are experts at manatee rehab. But we have one planned at the aquarium, which is a full critical care center. It has a number of medical pools as well as a rehab facility, and that will be on full display. So people will get to see that whole process. The one here, not so much. As we learn how to do this, we have an incredible veterinary team here, but they would love some practice and understanding of how to care for manatees. Because for what looks like a big blubbery creature, they're rather complex, their digestive systems, what happens when they slow down. And we need to build our expertise first before we can talk about it in that direct way.
So when will the one that you have by you be ready? When will this one be up and running?
I'm hoping by summer. Once the construction starts, it goes very quickly. The equipment here, we're just waiting on some final permitting pieces. And I'm hoping by summer that we'll be up and operational and we can start to take the overflow from other parts. And the good news is things have gotten a lot better for manatees the last few years. We're part of a group that does health assessments. And when we did our last set of health assessments in December, I think we ended up assessing 13 manatees. I think all of them were sort of fat and sassy, and 4 were pregnant. So we felt really good about that versus previous years where literally every manatee that was assessed had to be pulled out for rehab because they were in bad shape.
Keith Winston joining us. Next, he shares where the money comes from as Florida Business Minds continues. People's Gas, working with businesses across Florida to lower energy usage and costs with efficient natural gas. Get cashback energy conservation rebates when you install new natural gas equipment. Learn more at peoplesgas.com/bizrebates.
You did talk about money and people giving you money. So let's talk about money. I have a multi-part question. With inflation, is that $100 million price tag still feasible? And talk about your major revenue streams. Where do you get your money from? Do you get support from the state? Talk to our readers about that.
So great question. So in terms of the price tag, obviously what ends up happening is you get cost estimates along the way, and those cost estimates have gone up and up and up. But we always plan to phase the aquarium, because your product needs to stay fresh. And anyone who lives in Central Florida knows all the theme parks are always adding additional products as reasons to revisit. So that's part of our planning. So we have some price options at 100 million. We have some price options at 120 million. We'll see which ones we can pull in this first phase, but all of them are viable, fabulous aquarium. So yes, we can stay within that, assuming construction prices don't go up again. And every projection is they will start to go down as we look at those things. So that was the first part of your question. Where do we get our funding? As I mentioned, we're independent. We're not part of any government body. We're very lucky. We get a piece of the bed tax here in Brevard County for capital expansion. So it doesn't come to us for cover operations, but every time somebody stays in a hotel in Brevard County, we get a little piece of that. And that allows us to improve our product and build new things. Like we're building a new lion exhibit as we speak. And that's part of our mix. In terms of operations, there's no recurring funds. We do apply for grants and we get state grants sometimes. And we've gotten some state grants to help with the aquarium project, but none of that is a recurring operating source. So we have to stand on our own 2 feet. And that's primarily earned income. We know we'd like to try to be lean and mean like a for-profit and then reinvest that into the community and into the programs that we offer the community. And that's how our model goes. So every time someone comes to the zoo, remember years ago, like many places, when you exit the zoo, you exit through our gift shop. And I remember years ago, someone said to me, you make everyone exit through the gift shop so you'll make more money. And I said, exactly. That's what pays to feed the animals. That's what pays for the education program. That pays for the restoration work. Of course we do. We want to make more money here too. We want you to have a fabulous time and feel like your money is well spent. But if we weren't entrepreneurial, we wouldn't be here 30 years into the program.
Right. Any large donations to report of late?
Oh, we've had a number of large donations. We've been really thrilled. A couple large donations that made the papers the last couple of years. We had a family that had moved from Pittsburgh to Vero Beach that came to the zoo for the first time and got interested in us. And they have donated $5 million to actually for our sea turtle healing center at the aquarium, where we'll show you all the work we do into getting sea turtles back into the wild or sending them home, as we say it. And they fell in love with our product and our vision, and we were so thankful of her family that did not have to have deep roots in this area to do that. On the flip side, we had a family with very deep roots, the Nelsons, who had an engineering firm and were here for many years and really owed a debt of gratitude to the community for supporting them and their dreams. And they felt the best way also to invest back was to give to us. And so they gave a $2.5 million gift that's going to be in an exhibit we call The Locks, where we take you through the locks in Port Canaveral. You get to see what that looks like underwater. You get some great play experiences for kids, giant water tables. It's a whole little aquarium building in itself that's going to do. So another really significant gift from a long-term icon in our community is for the entrance experience at the aquarium. We don't want you to feel like you're going to a big building. We want you to enter a natural setting because it's all about local habitats. So as you enter the aquarium, you actually enter through a series of dunes. We talk about the beach and preserving the beach and sea turtles and everything we do there. And that is supported by a really generous gift from Ron John Surf Shop and from Surfing's Evolution and Preservation Foundation. So that's a total of $2 million, $1 million from each of those groups that we're so supportive of. Ron John is such an icon in our community, one of the reasons people visit. And they wanted to be there front and center, sort of representing the beach they have represented for so well on for so well.
So I can see why you think you're on track to get started this year. Tell me, besides money, what have been some of the other challenges? You mentioned COVID, getting this project started.
Well, you know, designing an institution like this from scratch is never an easy piece. So we've taken a look at a few things. Obviously, we're very excited to work with Port Canaveral. This is on an incredible piece of property that they're leasing to us. That's actually right now is a construction laydown zone. So building relationships with the port is part of what we're doing to understand their needs and the traffic patterns there. And then taking a look internally at our institution, going from one to two campuses is going to change the structure of what we do. Our whole management approach is going to be different. Recognizing what are the current elements that we want to transplant to the new campus, which is really our values and our mission, but understanding that each park essentially will have its own culture, and that's okay. They'll offer different things to the community. And then really talking to the community. So we have stood up a number of partnerships we're really proud of. We've committed $1 of every paid admission that's gonna go to the Indian River Lagoon National Estuary Program. So that program is really what does the work over all five Florida counties that house the Indian River Lagoon. And we'll be donating somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000 a year to support restoration work up and down the lagoon. Another partnership we've been working on is with universities, is a research and STEM consortium. And that's going to be led up with the Florida Institute of Technology. So putting those pieces in place. In Brevard Public Schools, Cocoa Beach Junior Senior High School has just started an aquascience program that trains that next generation in aquaculture, doing work like we're doing with seagrasses. And then with life support systems. So they'll come intern at the aquarium. The filtration systems we have are so sophisticated. They're a little piece of like space right here. How do we make perfect environments? So there's some incredible career training. So those are just a few examples of things that are starting to spin off this already.
So just to recap, tell our listeners exactly what the timeline is that you're expecting to get the future aquarium up and your next steps.
So our next steps, we're still heavily into, so we're in a couple of phases right now that I think are pretty important to us. Obviously, fundraising is number one, and we're actively fundraising in Volusia County, in Orange County, in Indian River County, in Brevard County. That's our number one hurdle, is to get enough financing and fundraising in place so we can move forward. The design process is in the construction document phase, so that's moved along very well. And just to give people the idea, not only are you speccing out an aquarium with multiple buildings and life support systems, but you're speccing out every sign that's going to be there at opening. If you can imagine that, just think about the complexity of a new park and what that looks like. So we're in the middle of that process. Internally, we're starting to come up with a staffing plan of who we're going to hire. But all that leads to us breaking grounds by the end of this year, approximately 2 years of construction with an opening, hopefully in the first quarter of 2027.
So I want to thank you, Keith Winston, from the East Coast Zoological Foundation, for speaking with the Florida Business Minds podcast this week.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. And thanks to everyone in the community who's brought this project to life so far.
Thank you for downloading Florida Business Minds. presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO People's Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy.